Father, we are so grateful that we get to be in your word today with this one verse that we're looking at. God, help us to recognize the wisdom and the truth that is always available. I pray that if we need correction or rebuke or training in righteousness in any way, help us to get that from your word today. Holy Spirit, thank you for being our guide. Amen. So Ephesians 5:21, and the title of today's sermon is Submit is Not a Bad Word. And I think sometimes when we look at the term submit, there's too many people have taken that to a degree and a context where it becomes a bad word. It becomes something like, you know, you've got somebody that's lording it over someone else. And I'm going to hopefully be able to share with you some things today that help us to renew the attitude of our minds and recognize that that's not really what submission is about. Part of why I'm wanting to spend time with this one verse today is because the next section here in Ephesians, we're still in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 today. This next section in Ephesians is going to talk to wives and husbands and children and fathers or parents, and slaves or servants and masters or employers. It's talking to a number of different categories of people, and putting it back in context, it's like, you know, why are all these different groups being mentioned? It's like that's what builds up a family unit in a lot of ways, or a community unit. If we understand how we all fit together, we're going to be able to work better together. And then when we start getting into this, though, I know that our American spirit, when it starts telling you to submit, you know, wives submit, it's like, okay, that's been misused. That's been abused by some people that say that means that the man's in charge and he can never say anything wrong. And that's not what it's saying in Scripture at all. Because this verse that we're going to cover today is going to really hopefully convict all of us about the concept of submission. And again, it's not a bad word. It's actually a very positive thing, if understood correctly. The context is that we've been going through the book of Ephesians. We've been learning about how God wants us to be godlike, to follow his example. And he's explaining to us that if we're walking in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, we're going to be able to do that better. And then this concept of submission and all this information that we're going to get about all the different family connectedness, community connectedness about submission is going to come in together. And then the next section after that start talking about putting on the whole armor of God so that we can fight against negative powers. He really hasn't changed the subject. The subject about putting off, renewing the attitude of your mind and putting on, we're still right there. We haven't gone very far from that. And recognizing that submission is actually a military term. It's placing yourself in a position where you can be used. So here's the verse. Most of you in just a few seconds would be able to memorize this verse if you haven't already. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You notice that one another passage again, right? It's like, how many times in Scripture do we see one another? Love one another, care for one another, exhort one another. There's so many different things we do with one another. Submit is one of them. Submit to one another. So later, when somebody says, oh, I don't like this verse, verse 22, the very next verse, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you would to the Lord. It's like, well, wait, I don't want to do that. And we live in a world that if we're asked to come under the authority of somebody, it's like, well, no, I don't want to do that. You're not the boss of me. I'm looking out for number one. I'm the only one that matters. And that seems to be too often where we go. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, though. Let's explore that a little bit. Definition. Submit. You present something like a proposal, an application, or a different document, you present something to a person or a body for consideration or judgment. How many of you ever went to school and you submitted a thesis? Or you submitted a paper, you submitted a test, and then that test was, that paper was considered or judged or graded. If you're going to build something and you're following all of the laws of the land, you're going to submit plans to a planning committee, planning commission. You're going to submit those documents and you're going to have them review them. And there's reasons for that. Some people really build dangerous stuff, and they shouldn't. They build things that will hurt themselves. And so part of the government's responsibility is to care for, to help, to prevent harm. And so Labor and Industries looks at the electrical and they say, you know, if you build it this way, it's probably going to catch fire. And you might lose a loved one. How about you change it this way and this way and this way? And it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. We can do that. The building commissioner might look and say, there's not enough support in this deck. And if three of you go out on it, you might survive. But if the fourth person steps out there, it's probably going to collapse on you. How about we put some more supports under there? How about we come up with a structure that architecturally will look nice, but is engineered to perform and do the job it's intended to do. So you're submitting a document, you're submitting an application or proposal for something. You know, in Congress, they submit bills for consideration, and they consider them, and sometimes nothing happens. And sometimes they say, yeah, this is a good idea, but it needs tweaked, it needs fixed. And so that's part of, you submit something, you're putting it out there. That's one definition of submit. Another one, voluntarily make yourself available for the benefit of others. It's like, how many of you had a mother, a father that submitted to you as a child in some ways with this definition? Voluntarily make yourself available for the benefit of others. I didn't have any authority over my parents, but I guarantee you, Mom submitted herself to my needs way more often than I deserved. And then this one, deploy or move into place for action. Deploy yourself in a position of support to defend. That's the military concept. It's like, okay, if a number of allies are going to get together, where are you going to deploy your units? Where are you going to put your strengths? Where are you going to set up to defend the whole, the group? And so when you're looking at the whole one another thing, that's kind of important. So you're submitting to one another. We're doing it out of reverence for Christ. I want to put this in context of the book of Ephesians. I there were a lot of different directions I could have gone. I could have found, you know, the 30 different places in Scripture that talk about submission and broken all that down, the different places this word is used, but just want to look at what's going on in Ephesians. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter, this epistle, and he's following a train of thought. It's like, you know, Nick brought it out when he spoke on it's all about family. It's like, you know, we get to share an inheritance with Jesus in the kingdom. It's we're all one unit. We're one body, we're one group. So here back in chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What's that have to do with submission? It's kind of, you know, if you know how powerful you are, you know what you're giving up when you lay that aside so that you can do something else for somebody. But do you know, you recognize it's like, I've got hope, I've got riches, and I've got power. I've got resources that I can use to deploy for the benefit of someone else. Verses 22 and 23 in chapter 1. God placed all things under his feet, under Christ's feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So if we're doing this out of reverence for Christ, let's recognize who Christ is. He's the all-powerful one. He's the one that has all authority. And it's mentioned more than a few places in Scripture that Christ has been given all authority. And out of reverence for him, if we know him, we're going to want to submit in a proper way to protect the body of Christ, to love those around us, to put ourselves in a place of defense for his people. Jump in all the way to chapter 4. There was a lot that happened in Ephesians between there, but jump into chapter 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. When it says we're bearing with one another, there's an insinuation there that there's something to bear with. Do we agree with each other 100% all the time? No. So we love each other. We bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It doesn't say make every effort to have groupthink and everybody is exactly the same and we're a bunch of clones. It's make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Then you were taught to put off your old self. You were taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true holiness and righteousness, righteousness and holiness. We were taught to put off the flesh, to put off all the old stuff. And there was quite a bit written about that. To renew the attitude of your mind, to change how we think. If you recognize that in the past, the way you were raised, the way things happened around you, your mind was trained in such a way that you have... I'm trying to be careful not go too far and step on too many feet, but I want to step on a few. You have racial bias. I've got a couple of sets of grandparents in my history that were extremely racist. When my parents thought it would be a good idea to adopt some mixed race children, we were kind of uninvited to grandparents' house if those kids were going to be with us. And we were, even at my father's funeral, reminded that somehow Dad and Mom disrespected the family name by allowing black children to carry that name. And if you think my family was unique in that, it's not. This is a national problem. It has been for hundreds of years. Now, how do we fix that? You know, there's certainly some ways that we can observe that it's not going to work. And let me tell you something. When my brother Mark does stupid things like sells drugs or goes out on the streets with a gun that he's not supposed to have, gets himself shot, he was raised in a nice family with proper morals, and he knows the right thing to do, and he chose not to do it. That's still on him. He's growing up, and I love him, and he's doing great. Pray for him. He's had a heart attack this year. He's had some other problems. His foot swelled up to the size of a football, and he is in the hospital for that, you know, with some gout and stuff. But, you know, little brother, I'm looking at my family falling apart physically, but emotionally, spiritually, and otherwise, I think they're growing and improving, and it's kind of exciting to see. But if we're moving through life thinking that everything's okay, and then we recognize that it's not, we need to put off that old, flawed, broken self. We need to change the attitude of our minds, and we need to move forward. You know, Kathy, what's the thing that Maya Angelou says?
You do your best, and when you find out better, you do better.
Do your best, and when you find out better, you do better. something like that. She probably said it better. She was a poet. But anyway, it's like we're in process. We're growing, I hope. When I was a student teacher, the supervising instructor came in and he did an evaluation, and I got just glowing, rave review. And as he's sitting down and telling me how wonderfully I did, he says, "If you're still teaching like this 5 years from now, you need to quit. You did good for a student teacher. But you better keep growing. And you better keep improving. And you better keep on advancing your skills and your knowledge and your techniques. And if you're not growing, get out. Because you're not doing those kids any favors." And I think we need to take that same attitude with ourselves constantly. If we're not changing and growing and improving, we need to be repenting. Because God says, yeah, you know what? You're supposed to change from glory to glory. It's supposed to get better and better. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm going to give just a bad example and then a good example. The negative example of not submitting, if you go to Romans 1, 18 to 31, I'm not going to read that whole section, but it kind of breaks down, you know, they're suppressing the truth by their wickedness. They know God, but they don't glorify Him or give Him thanks. They didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. There's Paul is writing the book of Romans, and he's saying, you know, there's this group of people that just absolutely don't care. And you know what God does? He keeps giving them over to their own desires. He keeps giving them over. It's like, you don't want to follow me? Fine. Do it your way. Do it on your own. I don't want to hear that God has given over the United States to our own sinful fleshly desires. And if we as the body of Christ can't be salt and light, it won't be long where God says, I'm done with this nation. Verse 32 of Romans 1. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things, all the things that were listed in these previous verses that you'll read later, they deserve death. The wages of sin is death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to talk about if you're in a crowd and there's people in that crowd doing terrible, nasty, awful things, and you're acting like it's okay, put yourself in Romans 1. We shouldn't be approving of bad tactics, no matter who those bad tactics are coming from. If the police are sticking their knee on somebody and holding them down for 9 minutes until they die, and you approve of that, there's something wrong. If the crowd you're hanging with is breaking windows and looting and starting fires, and you approve of that, there's something wrong. And that's when I read Romans, it's like, okay, Lord, why do you even put up with this? Because we as a nation have found so many ways to harm one another. We as a nation have found so many ways to oftentimes even hide in the name of Jesus and proclaim we're a good Christian nation, and then we go out and do something like let's hold people captive and own them and sell them as property. We've got to renew our minds. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, going back to just putting this submission thing in context. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Here's the positive example. I gave you a negative example. I could have given you some other negative examples, some other positive examples, but here's one. Jesus submitted. Jesus deployed Himself to the cross. He did that for our benefit. He did that on our behalf. He did that for our defense. He did that for love. If the example that we're told to follow is be like Jesus, be like God, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit is not a bad word. Jesus had the authority to call 10,000 angels and stop all that nonsense that was going on at the cross. And he said, yeah, but then I wouldn't be covering the sins of Tony and Kathy and Larry and Karen and everyone else in this room. And then, so he deployed himself to the cross. He placed himself in a situation to defend us, to cover us. And we're asked to submit to one another. How do we love one another like Christ loved the church? Thank you, Jesus. Help us to truly learn to faithfully submit to your will and to one another. Help us to follow those two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, purpose, your entire being, and then love your neighbor as yourself. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we can do that and thus fulfill the whole law. Amen. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.